ओम शांति। 14th June 2019 फ्राइडे। स्लोगन, दोज हु आर कॉन्स्टेंटली कोऑपरेटिव विद द फादर इन हिज टास्क थ्रू देयर बॉडीज माइंड्स एंड वेल्थ एंड देयर थॉट्स वर्ड्स एंड डीड्स आर योगीज। सो दोज हु आर कॉन्स्टेंटली कोऑपरेटिव with the father in his task through their bodies, minds, wealths, thoughts, words, deeds are yogis. So Baba is giving the definition of a yogi. A yogi is a one who is sahayogi, who is a cooperative soul, and he cooperates with the father in his task through these five things. He is cooperative through his body, cooperative through his mind, cooperative through his wealth, cooperative through his speech, and cooperative through his actions, karma. So, a yogi is a one who is cooperative with the father in his task. First, through his body, mind or thoughts, wealth, speech and karma, action or deeds, whatever you call it. And it is constant cooperation. It's not that sometimes one is cooperative and sometimes one is not. It is incessant, constant cooperation. So the first cooperation is through the body, deha. How do we cooperate with the father through the body? By doing gross service. To utilize body for service is the greatest cooperation. To utilize, in one of the Murlis, Baba has said three types of services. One is gross service, then yajna service and mansa, and service through the mind. These were the three categories. So, serving through the body means doing gross service. Serving to the body also means serving the yajna. Serving through the body also means serving through the mind. So, body should be utilized for service. Body should also be utilized for doing tapasya. In fact, that is the greatest use of the body, because we know that if the body is not well, when we are sick, everything comes to a standstill. Those who are healthy, those who aren't suffering from any diseases, sometimes they do not realize the importance of health. It's only when one falls sick that one realizes the importance of body. It's only when one meets with an accident and one is incapacitated for next couple of days or weeks, then one realizes how useful is this body. When one is hale and hearty, enjoying radiant health, we probably do not understand the importance of health. But a slightest illness, just cough and cold, sometimes make the person down, so much so that his entire routine of Brahmin life is disturbed. Then one realizes the importance of health. So, body should be utilized for gross service. Body should be utilized for serving this yajna as much as possible. Because another factor in utilizing body for the gross service is that by doing service, body can stay healthy. Otherwise, body will become flabby, body will become obese. So, doing service keeps one fit. Doing service keeps one healthy. Doing service is something that exercises the body. And the more the gross service, the better it is. And the younger the age, the more one should be engaged in doing the gross services. Once upon a time in yajna, when resources were less and manpower were less, one person used to do the work of 10 people. So, doing as much hard work as possible is what is needed. Because it's only when you work hard throughout the day then you can get good night's sleep. Just imagine a laborer. He works the whole night and then he gets so tired, so fatigued. And then night, without any sleeping pill, he goes off to sleep so nicely. While if you see other people who have sedentary lifestyle, they have problems with sleep. So this body, when it is hale and hearty, this body when we are enjoying health, should be utilized for doing as much service of the yajna as possible. That could be any gross service, but this body should be utilized for service, because that is what will keep us healthy. And yogi means who is healthy. So the first definition of the yogi is one who is cooperative soul, cooperates with his body for the yajna in father's task. So one is service and second is tapasya. These are the two things body should be utilized for. This body is not for sensual enjoyment. This is very clear. Because on one side is sense pleasure, on another side is super sensuous happiness. Sensual pleasure is like night, darkness. And super sensuous happiness is like day. When you are in sensual pleasures, there is not a trace of super sensuous happiness. And when one gets drowned in super sensuous happiness, there is not a trace of sensual happiness. So these two things cannot exist together. Either you get this or this. Now, there is a constant struggle for this. Actually, the basic thirst of the soul is for happiness. If you don't give it super sensuous happiness, it enjoys sensual happiness. And then guilt consciousness comes. Sensual happiness means lust. Sensual happiness means all the vices, bodily pleasures. Now, what should we do? Should we fight with bodily pleasures? Because they also give happiness, though transient, for a very small time. But they do give happiness. That's why the whole world is engaged in sensual pleasures. Super sensuous pleasure, Atindriya Sukh. This needs a lot of effort. It doesn't come so easily. That's why the shortcut to happiness is sensual happiness. That's why the whole world is seeking sensual happiness. You don't have to make any efforts. You don't need any dharana for sensual happiness. But for super sensual happiness, you need a huge list of dharanas. But every time soul enjoys sensual happiness, there will come guilt consciousness. Every time soul enjoys sensual happiness, concentration is disturbed. Every time soul is drowned in sensual happiness, there will be mental restlessness. There will be imbalance in thoughts, in personality. And then repentance. And sensual happiness is addictive. Once you start enjoying, even if one wants, one cannot so easily come out of it. So that's why it has been compared to the night. And this is compared to the day. So this is night, this is day, this is darkness, this is light. Now how to get rid of this? If I think that this is something and I have to fight, I will never be get rid of it. The best way to get rid of darkness is bring light. When one is not enjoying super sensuous bliss in Brahmin life, there is emptiness, there is loneliness. And loneliness, actually Brahmins are not, they do not enjoy vices, but yet they are attracted towards vices. Why? Brahmins don't enjoy vices. In today's Sakar Murli, Baba said one word. This is a Tamo Pradhan world and you don't have any taste of it. You don't. You dislike, you don't have the taste, swad of this world. So, darkness and light. As I said, soul, a Brahmin soul, who is a naturally pure soul, they don't enjoy vices, but yet they are attracted towards vices. Why? No, there is one more thing. When there is no light, no super sensuous bliss in Brahmin life, there will be vacuum. And when there is a vacuum, there is a loneliness. And when there is a loneliness, there is a restlessness. And when there is a restlessness, there is an attraction of vices. So Brahmin soul is not directly attracted to vices. Brahmin soul doesn't enjoy lust, but forcefully it is drowned towards lust. Why? Because there is a lack of light. So darkness is there. Darkness means loneliness. Heart is lonely because God is far away. In spite of doing Amrit Vela, listening Murli, listening classes, Baba is still far away. And there is a loneliness. And whenever there is a loneliness, there is a restlessness. And whenever there is a restlessness, there is attraction of vices. And whenever there would be attraction of vices, guilt consciousness and repentance. So Brahmin life can turn into this circle. This is really a very pitiable stage. A very elevated Brahmin soul, yet getting drowned or drawn to vices. But what that soul can do? Only one way. If it starts fighting with guilt, not work. If we start fighting with loneliness, it will not work. The only way is to increase soul consciousness. That's it. And the only way is to increase love for Baba.
How to increase soul consciousness?
How to increase soul consciousness and how to increase love for Baba? These are the two important questions. The first line of today's blessing, the first line from today's Sakar blessing, to remain merged in love is complete knowledge. To remain merged in love is complete knowledge. For soul consciousness, you need a lot of silence. Sitting in silence and thinking about different points of knowledge as if I am a soul. I, the soul, revising Murli, churning knowledge. Reminding yourself of 84 births is a way to become soul conscious. To spin the discus of self-realization, Sudarshan Chakra, is to become soul consciousness, to increase soul consciousness. Doing everything that will keep us, rather than practicing soul consciousness, another way is to keep oneself away from body consciousness. Keep oneself away from all the forms of body consciousness. So soul consciousness means practicing Soman, practicing drills, churning Murli. They will keep make one more and more soul conscious. Practicing bodiless stage, practicing five forms, practicing three forms, sending out Sakash. Many things one can do to keep oneself as much soul conscious as possible. And love for God, to increase that love for Father as much as possible. To see the faults of the world is the way to increase love for Baba. To see, to have a defective vision. Human's love is a defective love. Human love is incomplete love. Human love creates restlessness. Human love is so incomplete. It never fulfills the heart. Rather, it is deceptive. So one must compare human love and God's love. Body consciousness, soul consciousness. So these are only two things. More and more soul consciousness and more love for Baba. More these two things are there, then only we are in the light, in the day. If you want that darkness should never enter, then remain in the light as much as possible. The moment you enter into, the moment these two things are gone, soul consciousness and love of God, what remains is darkness. And whenever there is a darkness, there is loneliness, there is restlessness and attraction of vices. Actually, we are not drawn towards vices. It is the stage of loneliness. One feels lonely. One feels lonely, doesn't want to do anything. Depressed at heart. Because in spite of doing, the same thing has happened multiple times, the same mistake. So sometimes soul becomes lonely. So, yogi is the one who utilizes his body for tapasya and seva. The second is wealth. The second is mind. Mind means thoughts. Thoughts means to keep one's thought elevated is to become yogi. To keep one's thought soul conscious is to become yogi. To engage one's thought in churning knowledge is to become yogi. To keep mind man manabhav is the greatest form of yoga. The mind remains attracted towards him who is incorporeal, who is nirakar. This itself is to become yogi. So with the mind, cooperate with the Father. With the thoughts, not just thoughts, mind has got three functions: thinking, feeling, wanting or desiring. So all things, want things of the world, do not want the things of the world, want everything which belongs to God. Feel for him, create that emotional love for him. One should be emotionally involved, then only, otherwise the love remains very intellectual, very gross, very superficial, artificial, flimsy. To create a very deep emotional bondage with God, to get emotionally involved with him. As I said yesterday also, spend at least 2 hours every day doing what? Talking with God. Doing nothing, no yoga, just talking with him. And what to talk? any nonsense. What to talk? Anything. Anything that comes in the mind, but keep on talking. Anything which is rubbish. Anything which is garbage. Anything, but keep on talking. Because every time it's not possible to get stabilized in a seed form or angelic stage. The best is talking. Keep on talking. So, feeling, desiring and thoughts. Thoughts should be elevated. And how? What is the way to elevate the thought? Murli. Just take one line from Murli. How do we elevate the thought? For example, I'll just take one line. Sneha me samana hi sampurna gyan hai. To get merged in love is complete knowledge. You have read this statement, now wait and think about it. What is complete knowledge? Is it philosophy? Is it learning by rote? Is it psychology? Was it, what is complete knowledge? It is to have super memory. Is it to remember everything? Is it to remember Murli? Is it to remember all points of Murli? What is complete knowledge? It is to pass Murli quiz with good marks. What is complete knowledge? Is it to be able to give good speeches? Is it complete knowledge? What is complete knowledge? Think like that. And then come to Baba's statement. Baba is saying, to remain merged in love is complete knowledge. Look at his definition. So this is the way you elevate your thought. One is feeling very depressed. Very, very down. No happiness. Very, very sorrowful. Now what to do? Take one point. Read one line from Murli. And think about it. What is it? This is in fact spiritual entertainment. To churn. Churning is one of the single most weapon to fight depression. Churning is the greatest lift that takes you from low thoughts to higher thoughts. And once the thoughts are elevated, once the mood is elevated, one is changed. So that's why maximum attention throughout the day. Otherwise, too much happiness makes one go up, too much sorrow makes one sink in, sink down. Staying stable, the single most weapon is churning. The single most weapon is reading. Reading, thinking, stop, pause. Never make attempt to read the whole Murli at one go. This is a drink, no? Drink should be taken sip by sip, very slowly. How do they enjoy drink? Do they drink like that at one go? No. Read one line and wait. Sometimes you may need the whole day to read one paragraph. Just read one line. See, in today's Murli Baba says, sweet children, you have come here for transformation. That is the first line for Murli. You are coming here for transformation. So think, what is transformation? What are the steps of transformation? In which areas I need transformation? How should I get transformed? What I should do for transformation? This is the way you churn. Take anything and churn. Don't be in a hurry to finish the Murli and to heave a sigh of relief. Oh, I have finished reading Murli. Now today's burden is lifted. Now I am free to enjoy sensual things, sensual pleasures. Once the Murli is done and Amrit Vela is done, half the load is lifted. Now I am free to enjoy and going back to my old pattern of thinking, to my old sanskars. Read very, very slowly. Just read one paragraph in 1 hour and leave it. And then give a gap of 2-3 hours. And then come back to Murli again after a few hours. And then read something. And then close. And then take a gap. This is known as intermittent learning. And psychologists say that the greatest, you should never sit at a stretch for long hours, 6 hours. One is sitting and studying. Such students are not smart students. Learning means intermittent learning. Sit for 30 minutes, give up and go out. And look out of the window, see what is happening. Here, there, come back. And then sit and read again. Then go out and then read. This is the way you learn. So, serve with your body, serve with your mind, serve with your wealth, whatever wealth we have. That wealth should be, that wealth will become purified only and only when it is utilized for yajna. Otherwise, that is stolen wealth. Our wealth, yajna is a filter. It's a dialysis machine. Let the money go through this machine and it will get purified. Speech. Our speech should be utilized for serving. Our speech should be utilized for awakening the souls. Our speech should be utilized for awakening the consciousness, for uplifting the souls, for encouraging the souls to give them a new lease of life, to pump them with spiritual powers, to inject them with spiritual energy. To afflict them with unprecedented spiritual enthusiasm. To bring them out of spiritual depression and let them enjoy what is known as spiritual entertainment. To live a life of spiritual entertainment. So that is the real use of speech. And when it is not used, the best way is to keep silent rather than speaking anything. And the last thing Baba is saying is actions. Actions means, karma means, which is a better translation of karma, action or deeds? Karma, word. If you want to translate in English, which is a better translation, action or deeds? Why? What is the difference between kriya and karma? Work on this. One is kriya. Another is karma. There's a difference. We'll discuss this some other time. So actions and deeds. Better word is deeds. Okay? Actions, they can be anything. So our all deeds, all karma should be for good of the world. Should be utilized for Baba's service. In Islam, they talk of sawab. Sawab kamana. To earn punya. To earn charity. Sawab means, in Islamic philosophy, they talk of sawab. During Ramzan, they do lot of zakat. Giving alms, giving donation, dan. So that is all for earning sawab. For example, in Islam they have privilege of man to marry four times. Why? Because first time, okay. But second time a person marries, suppose somebody is a widow, she is a poor and she doesn't have anybody. So this is an act of sawab. Because they marry to help somebody. That's why even Prophet Muhammad, he didn't marry till the age of he had only one wife till the age of 53 or 54. After that he married to help other women. So that's an act of sawab. So this is also, so our actions should be for the good of the world. Bahujana hitaya, bahujana sukhaya. for the good of many, for the welfare of many, we are born in this world. So yogi is sahyogi in all these five things. First, body, mind, wealth, speech and actions. Om Shanti.